pressure pays off.
The Dutton army go crazy.
Glorious goal.
Glasgow and the West's league leader for 50 years.
I'm asked to give an opinion and I like to give an honest one.
This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard on the eve of the first premiership-less weekend of the winter break. Transfer rumours are in full flow though, with both Celtic and Rangers said to be interested in Scott McKenna. Brendan Rodgers is looking to do business early but knows not to get ahead of himself after apparently missing out on Declan Rice earlier in his first spell. And the lower leagues take centre stage this weekend with championship action tonight. You're in the company of Kenny Miller and Hugh Keevans.
The Celtic fans must still be quivering after Brendan Rodgers revealed that Declan Rice story, a £100 million transfer from West Ham to the Arsenal, and he might have been a Celtic player. But it was a good story from Brendan Rodgers, and it shows you what can happen during a transfer window. A simple twist of fate, you could have a potential £100 million player on your hands, or he slipped through your fingers.
Kenny Miller, it's been quite the week. It's been a lively old week. I think we're now sort of in the reality of the winter break. People are going to wake up tomorrow. If you're a fan of the top flight, get yourself out to a lower league game. Go and watch something else, because it's very much the case that the winter break is upon us, which means transfers and planning for the future.
Or get down to Palmerston Park on Sunday and watch Dobby's testimonial, right, of the Scotland legends against the Queen of the South legends, if that's something you fancy. But yeah,
if you're that desperate for football, you could indeed go there.
Yeah, but listen, it's we are right in the midst of transfer season again. It's kicking off now after the aftermath of the Old Firm game and the last the league games before the break. It's now looking forward to who needs what and if they're going to be able to get the right players in January to make that big push to either win leagues, win trophies, or stave off relegation.
01419511025, that is the number you need. So do get in touch and let us know what is on your mind. Of course, it is up to you. I do feel personally that we've probably kicked to the backside out of handball offside gate for a few days. If you want to keep going, I mean, we're here for you. I'm just not sure if there's much more to be said. Maybe you want to shift focus onto a transfer rumour. I must admit, it's the bit about the winter break that I don't mind. We're starved of top flight football, but it's always nice to get a real bit of transfer talk going and look at what your team needs and what they don't. And we've not really done that this week yet. So if you want to do that, now would be the perfect time. What does your team need? What do you want? Who do you want in? Who do you want out? 01419511025. If you want to get specific, apparently Scott McKenna is a target for both Celtic and Rangers. So I'm appealing to you all, Celtic fans, Rangers fans. Would either of you want him? Would you both want him? Would neither of you want him? How would you see him fitting in? How does he compare to what you have? Is it an area of the team that needs strengthened? Whether it comes to anything, that's a great story, because he's well known. He's been up here before. He's a Scotland international. He's been in the English Premier League. And it so happens that, according to reports, Celtic and Rangers both involved in the mix. So I don't mind that at all for a transfer starter. Of course, the usual names are still circling around, whether it be Lawrence Shankland or Bojan Majovski or anyone else. I know you Rangers fans were maybe, and hopefully I'm not being unfair, hopeful that Michael Beale would take Sam Lammers down to Sunderland. I don't know if that's going to happen. It certainly doesn't look like it. But general transfer thoughts right now, 01419511025. And of course, you this weekend, the chance for you and your colleagues in here to shine a light on the lower leagues.
And I'll be delighted to do so tomorrow. But first of all, I travelled down here by train with a man who told me that, yes, he was desperate for Lawrence Shankland to sign for Rangers, but if he couldn't get him, he would take Kenny Miller. from now until the end of the season because he looks as if he could still score a goal or two.
Quite a man that knows his stuff.
There's quite a difference there. No offence to our esteemed colleague. I don't know if he would command the same multi-million pound transfer fee that we're talking for Lawrence Shanghai.
Or how much would it be? It might suit.
Yes, get him on the cheap. How much would it be? There you go. There's one for you. How much would it be? Hearts fans, you'll be wanting to keep a hold of him. Celtic fans, Rangers fans, everybody's been mentioned, it feels like. So get all your transfer thoughts in. It's been an interesting couple of days on that front, even just on the old rumour mill. I think specifically Scott McKenna's a really good debating point to kick us off, because I've been fascinated by that one on social media today, because I see loads of Celtic fans and Rangers fans saying they would want him, see loads saying they wouldn't want him, and it's a great divide there.
He would hold his own at Celtic Park or Ibrox, that's for sure. And if you look at Celtic and what's going on, rumours about Laga Bielka possibly going out on loan in this window. Navrotsky has made a comeback to the side for the first time in months. But do Celtic see him as a long-term capture for them? That remains to be seen. Liam Scales still continues to prove to be an outstanding rediscovery for Celtic. He might have been back at Aberdeen by this time, but he's in the Celtic team and more than holding his own. So Scott McKenna would get a game at Celtic, that much is certain, and he would get a game at Rangers. It's always fascinating, Kenny.
Nothing is certain, and if you say it, people will disagree. So let's see how we get on between now and 8 o'clock on 01419511025. Do you ever move in January?
Yep.
You must have, man of many
January
clubs.
To Turkey. Only time, I think, yeah.
Only one?
Yeah.
And was that on the cards in the lead up to January?
There's a few things. A few things were on the cards at that time. That was my last year, going at my last 5-6 months of the contract, and it was the season before all things went pear-shaped, and that Valentine's Day in February. So it was pretty made clear that I wasn't going to be getting the contract at the end of that season. So it was a choice at that moment. Stay off and finish the season. Like, I'd started with a really, really good first 5-6 months of the season, or look at the opportunities that were on the table. So we looked at it, and there was a few, and it led me to go to Turkey in that January transfer
there
window.
There we go.
Just playing Bursa, actually, in the Champions League.
That's right, yeah. Yep. Who will be on the move this January? Get your thoughts in. Maybe you're a fan of a lower league team, and you stumble across this show, or you listen to this show regularly, and you think, my team never gets a look in on there. I'm always just talking about the big boys. This could be the weekend where you shine. Come on here, educate us. Let us know what's happening in the lower leagues this weekend, if you would prefer that. 01419511025. Like we said, the transfer rumour mill is very much in full flow, and we mentioned that one name that is a great one to kick us off, Scott McKenna. Various outlets, I think, reporting that both Celtic and Rangers would be taking a look at the out of favour Nottingham Forest defender. You all know his story. Started at Aberdeen, very high profile, down to Nottingham Forest in the Championship, up into the Premiership, played for Scotland a number of times. What would your thoughts be, Kenny?
I think he would fit either, to be honest. I think at this moment in time, clearly Celtic have had their issues at centre-back. I mean, signings in the summer, Navrotsky, Phillips, Lager, Bielka, it's not happened for either of them. It's led to an Old Firm pairing of Welsh and Scales last week, two academy products. So it's clearly not been good recruitment for Celtic in that area of the pitch in the summer. Rangers, maybe you could say likewise, I suppose, when Ben Davies is signed and John Souter, none of them have really kind of convinced Philippe Clement anyway that they're the guy. Hence, 35-year-old Leon Balogun signed on a year contract in the summer, by the way, to a lot of opposition as well, has become the main partner for Conor Goldson. So I think longer term, for Rangers, it would be a good sign. He's 27-year-old, he's played at a really good level. I think when he was leaving Aberdeen, I'm surprised maybe neither was looking. Maybe they were. I know there was that mooted move to Aston Villa that maybe just he got priced out of. But yep. He obviously found his way down to Ingleby Forest and into the Premier League. So, listen, he's played against him a number of times. He's pretty quick for a centre-back. He's very, very strong, aggressive. I think, like Hugh says, I think he would fit either.
There we go. Hugh Keevans and Kenny Miller agree with each other. They both say Scott McKenna would be an asset for both Celtic and Rangers. I wonder how you feel about it specifically through the lens of your team, though. John is going to kick things off. As a Celtic fan, John, would you fancy a move for Scott McKenna or not?
No, happy New Year, guys, anyway.
Same to you.
No, I don't think. I actually listened to your commentary last week, Kenny, when Big Narovsky came on, and you were quite impressive. I think this guy is quite a good player. Obviously, I've seen the best of him, but I didn't like Scott McKenna with Aberdeen, and I don't think he's better than what we've got, as in Carter Vickers and Narovsky. Neither do so, and I wouldn't take him. Just and another point I was making to the guys was,
does he need to be better than those two, John? Though, I mean, could he fit in the squad at all, or?
I don't think so. I don't think he's. I thought he was a good. I know he's not. I know he's only maybe about 24, 25, but I don't think he's actually kicked on. He was quite a good potential when he was younger. I don't think he's kicked on. And they say if he's not good for Nottingham Forest, he's not good enough for Celtic.
Well, if you examine Celtic's options, John, like a Bielka, rumours that he may be going in the window on loan elsewhere. Navrotsky, how can anyone come to any proper conclusion about him? He played on August the 20th and wasn't seen again until December the 30th. So why, during those months, couldn't he get a game for Celtic, John?
I was injured, Schubert.
No, not for that length of time he was.
No, I know he's been a bit bad the last 4 weeks, but as I said, I think what I seen last week, and I think even Kenny touched on it, he'd actually done well last week when he came on for Welsh, so he did. Didn't really look out of place, you know, he did. And obviously you've got Carter Vickers, but that's my personal opinion. And see, the other point, Shu and Kenny, was apparently there's a $6 million clause in Bernardo. So what do you think Celtic will do with it? Do you think they'll take up the clause to buy it? Because I think O'Reilly or Hattati will go at the end of the season. So what do you think with that one, guys?
I would have to say that I'm not aware of a £6 million price on his head. What I would say is that up until he played against Dundee on Boxing Day, no one would have noticed if he'd gone. But he played well against Dundee and scored. He played very well against Rangers and scored. He made two goals against St Mirren on Tuesday, and he has begun to look like an item. But he's 21 years old, and I'm not sure that Celtic would pay £6 million if, indeed, that is what they're required to pay.
I just think I think on both the Navrotsky, and you're right, John, I think he came into a difficult game after very, very limited game time in that Old Firm game, and he done pretty well. I mean, thinking back, a couple of really good strong tackles defensively on Seema, particularly in the first half, where it looked like Seema could have been bearing down on goal. I just think on both of them, it's too early to be making these kind of big statements and judgments on. For instance, he's going to be better than signing Scott McKenna or Bernardo for six million. Hughes, right?
Just wait
and
see.
Absolutely. I think then you've got time to do that. I just don't think, I mean, £6 million is a lot of money for our clubs, even Celtic and Rangers. And to be jumping in off the back of two or three impressive performances. By the way, Brendan Rodgers sees him every day, so he'll know if he's going to be worth that. But for us, for me anyway, for these last three or four games, I think he's looked pretty good. Creative, he's scored, he's assisted, like Hugh says. That's what you want to see for that type of player. We've just not seen it enough, because Hugh's right, had it not happened in that, you might have seen him disappearing in January as well.
John, sort of summary there was, he's not good enough for Nottingham Forest, he's not good enough for Celtic, which on the face of that, you kind of get the logic there. But at the same time, I wonder if, is that always the way it works? I mean, he played 50 odd times for Nottingham Forest in the Championship, when they obviously did enough to get promoted. Then first season English Premier League, I think about 20-30 odd appearances, injuries in there as well, and now clearly out of favour. Is it always that simple, I suppose? Because right now, if there was a defender, I don't know who's doing well in the Championship. I mean, maybe someone like a Leicester or whatever is a bad example, because they're a really big club. But if there was a defender doing well in the English Championship, you wouldn't say
it would be priced out of a move. By the way, Rangers couldn't afford them. It's as simple as that.
You wouldn't say, oh, you know, you wouldn't look down your nose at that.
I understand what John's saying, because up here we've got our clubs, we've got our big clubs in Rangers and Celtic, and they aspire to be these kind of superpowers, and they should be winning, and they should be going for the big players. But by the way, this is a Notts Forest team that go and pay £30 million for players. So,
and have signed,
and they've signed
50,
probably incredible
52
amount,
or something in the last couple of seasons.
And by the way, signed big players for a lot of money in at centre-back positions. But like you say, last year, I think he actually made almost 30 appearances across, but it was 20 Premier League appearances last season. And he's just found, again, after another summer of recruitment, he's just found himself kind of behind maybe four or five guys. So I don't think Scott McKenna, knowing the game, being an international player, by the way, is he the best possible signing they could get? Maybe not. But he would definitely be able to come up here and at least compete. What I would say with your one going, he was not coming up here just to be part of a squad. That's what I would say. He's not leaving Notts Forest to come up and sit on the bench and watch John Scales and
Liam Scales and Stephen
Welsh play for Celtic, that's for sure. Or coming up to watch John Souter, Leon Balogun or Ben Davies play in front of him. So if he's coming up, he's going to be coming up to play.
Hugh, he's actually 33 Scotland caps. And bear in mind, we're not bad these days. We're actually all right. And I do wonder, because of the left-sided nature of it, he's probably a victim of the fact that we've got Kieran Tierney. You had to put Kieran Tierney in somewhere, and if it wasn't for that, you know, I don't know, would that cap total have increased even more? So it's a pretty good CV.
Yeah, I mean, Stevie Clark's a hard man to impress, for a start. So every cap you get under Stevie Clark, you've earned it. He's been playing at a higher level for the last two or three seasons than he would be rejoining were he to come to Celtic or Rangers. So I would see no problem with it at either club. John, on the line, perfectly entitled to hold his own personal opinion. That's what we're all delivering here, personal opinion. But I think he would cruise it here.
You know what, because there's certain traits and abilities will automatically translate. All his defensive stuff...
He's quick and strong, isn't he?
Absolutely. But by the way, when you watch him when he plays for Scotland, he's got the ability. Listen, he might not be the most easiest eye on the eye, but he can take it and he can pass it. He can step in. You know, I think he would fit, and I think what he can bring would translate to either representing Celtic or Rangers easily.
Well, what do you think? That's more important. With no offence to Kenny and Hugh, 01419511025, both Celtic fans and Rangers fans. Would you take Scott McKenna? Would he get in your team? Is it an area you would go for? Let us know right now. We'll try and get you on next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Hear it, watch it. Search the YouTube stream now. The team with the biggest support in Glasgow and the West for 50 years. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Kenny Miller and Hugh Keevans are here. It's 01419511025. Or you can tweet us at Clyde SSB. We're talking transfers, and in particular in the first part of the show, Scott McKenna, both Celtic and Rangers reportedly interested in his services to fans of both teams. What do you think? Would you take him? Would you not? On Twitter, some interesting ones coming on. Celtic follower says McKenna may be a Celtic fan, but he won't go to Celtic. He needs game time and wouldn't get it there. Penalties to Rangers says McKenna is another James McCarthy signing. I agree with the Celtic fan, not good enough for the old firm. He's a journeyman. Aberdeen Forest are the peak for him. It's pretty hard. Guy's in English Premier League.
It's not a bad peak being in English Premier League.
It's not bad, but there we go. It's a tough school, this, that's for sure, at Clyde SSB.
It's also fascinating when they have the choice. If he has the choice of Celtic and Rangers, you go back to the Nacho Novo scenario, where if you sign the other lot, say, he's a dud anyway, I wouldn't touch him.
Which, you don't need to go back that far. I thought we'd done it with Fabio Silva, apparently, and Luis Palma before him. Yeah, well, we can do that at the best of times. Yeah. We'll see. Anyway, John is on. So we had a John who was a Celtic fan that said, nope, not interested, not for me. What about John, the Rangers fan?
Good evening, Hugh, Kenny and Gordon, and this will be the last day I see this. Happy New Year, everybody.
John, I think we're just about safe, but you're right. Eventually we'll get to the cut. Sometimes folk phone us in February and say it, and you just think it's a bit much, but anyway.
I'm just thinking about what Scott McKenna's. I don't think we need another centre-half in there. We've got four centre-halves here and now, and I feel there's other areas of the pitch that need strengthened, and I don't think we're bringing loads of players in January. And if he has only got a few months left in his contract, why not sign him on a pre-contract for the summer? Because that would make more sense to me, and use the money to... I would see another winger, because Seema will be away in the African Nations. I feel he's played a lot of games this season, not had much rest. Young McCausland, he's come in, he's done really well, but he's still young and raw. I feel another winger coming in, also another striker. The boys come in for Wolves, he's unknown yet, and I feel even with him coming in, that would just leave us him and Dessers. I wouldn't have relying with for the rest of the season. You don't know when Danilo's coming back. And also, another left-back, I feel Barisic, there's rumours he may be moving in January. If he's not signing another contract, we will try to get someone in for him. And Yilmaz, I know he's played well the last couple of games, but he'd still need competition at left-back. I don't know what the fan will feel.
Look, I have no idea if Rangers need to choose. I don't know if it would, you know, you can only have Scott McKenna or you can have other positions, but I do get where John's coming from. Generally saying he doesn't think centre-back's a priority.
It's like listening to myself, actually. John's just nailed every single point that I would say. I don't think
centre-back.
Fussed
about centre-back,
no. Listen, I think the summer, absolutely.
Right.
And I think if Barisic was to leave in January, then left-back becomes probably an area that someone needs to be signed also. But if he doesn't, I also think that's something maybe for the summer. I just look at the top end of the pitch, and he's right, probably a winger to replace Seymour, to also challenge young McCausland, because at the moment he's a first choice player in that position. 20-year-old, just came into the team, needs to be pushed, can't be kind of taking his place for granted. Not that he is or he will, but always having that competition helps. So absolutely agree with John. I think everything he said makes sense. The defence, the left side of the defence in particular, would be for me an issue for the summer.
So Rangers fans are preoccupied though with the Lauren Shankland business. Do they want him? Are they prepared to push the boat out, financially speaking, to get him? You know, the fans see the goal scorer who can make the difference between winning the league title and finishing second. And that's why somebody eventually is going to have to show their hand. Philippe Clement, does he want Shankland at Ibrox? I mean, the Rangers fans need to know soon.
I'm sure he's a name we'll move on to. Before we're done with Scott McKenna, Kenny, how does he compare level-wise, ability-wise to what Rangers have for
he's
you?
Better.
King's better than them all?
Yep.
Yeah?
Simple as that. I think he does everything better.
Wow.
He might, I'm trying to think, is there Danilo maybe, I would maybe say Danilo be faster?
No. Scott McKenna to the centre-back.
Sorry,
I was wondering.
Scott McKenna, well, I think he's at a, for Rangers, he's at a far better stage of his career, I would say, Leon Balogun. Leon Balogun was brought in as a backup. I mean, it's all credit to him that
he's
grabbed.
Done well, yeah.
He's grabbed that. And by the way, he deserves to be playing because he's a better option alongside Conor Goldson at this moment than John Souter and Ben Davies. Scott McKenna would probably come into definitely reckoning there. But then you see that even across at Celtic, the three players we've mentioned, one's already went back. Navrotsky's actually made his comeback. Lager, Bielka, I'm not convinced about him. So you've got Liam Scales there who's done great. So I agree with first John. If you're assigning someone, it needs to be better than Liam Scales. You know, he does. And to spend money, and again, it'll be decent wages, I'd imagine he gets Scott McKenna. They need to be significantly better. Is he? He's got more experience. Hugh says he's played at a higher level the last few years. Good international pedigree as well. So like I said, I think he could fit both. Is he the perfect answer? Probably not, because you could be looking forever to find that perfect answer. But someone who's going to be reliable, who's going to be turning up every week, who's not going to have the injury issues or the issues that some of the Celtic ones have had, I think he's a good fit.
Final word to you, John.
Well, you're saying he has had injuries in the past. I don't know if he's over them. I mean, he had a really bad injury a couple of years ago. And signing him, Rangers of the last couple of years seem to sign players and they've had bad injuries. So I wouldn't say he's never been injured, but he did have a really, really bad injury at Aberdeen a couple of years ago. So is he over that? I don't know. And yeah, he has played at a higher level in the Premiership, but he's played at Nottingham Forest, which is the lower end of the Premiership and the Championship for the last couple of seasons for that. So
the lower end of the Premiership, or the Premier League as they call it down there, the lower end of the Premier League down there is substantially higher a level than you'll get up here, John.
It just depends though. It does, right? Because sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't, and everybody knows, you know, Shane Duffy came up here and it clearly didn't work. But John, you know, you're absolute nailed on number one man there is, you know, it's Conor Goldson who, you know, couldn't quite break through at that level. So should we be as blanket statement about it?
We think Conor Goldson on after that heart surgery, so we were taking a chance that he would come.
No, but I'm talking about like levels here. I know there's always circumstances, but I'm talking about levels.
A lot of players have come up from England to Scotland, and it's not worked out for them. So I could rhyme them off. So just because you played in England doesn't mean you come up to Scotland and you walk it.
I know that, but you then wouldn't always hold it against them. Like we've said, if you look at the level, then none of the guys here in both teams. So Conor Goldson, Leon Balogun, with all due respect to him, has been very good. Carter Vickers, Liam Scales, none of them would be, none of them were, even bottom end English Premier League level, really, in terms of playing regularly, were they?
Well, Carter Vickers was everywhere.
He was a bit younger, to be fair. You can't always compare both.
I just think that John has been slightly dismissive of McKenna. Injury, yeah, of course he'd recovered from it. He went to Nottingham Forest and he helped get them into the Premier League in England, and he played in the Premier League. He doesn't suit Nuno Espirito Santo, but he would stroll it. And there's a big Celtic difference. Rangers.
And there's a big difference between Scott McKenna and every one of these guys I mentioned. He's played up here in the league. Uh-huh. He's a Scottish player. He's a Scottish internationalist. He's actually been a really that good a performer for Aberdeen that Aston Villa tried to buy him for $7 million. Notts Forest eventually signed him. You know, so there's a big difference between Scott McKenna and all these other players who have been successful, or the ones that have not been successful. This guy knows our league. He knows our game inside out. I'm not saying that Celtic Rangers should sign him. I'm saying if they did, he's going to come up, and like Hugh says, it's going to be a stroll for him.
I think the reason it sounds like we're Scott McKenna's agents, but only because every caller who's come on so far said no. Yeah. So then we kind of give the counter argument. I'd just be interested if maybe there isn't anyone out there who thinks it would be a good idea for Celtic or Rangers. But if you do, nice to hear from you. Now would be a good time on 0141 951 1025. But yeah, I suppose the kind of profile as well, that. It's a good age for a centre back as well, isn't it? Again, doesn't guarantee anything, but profile wise, it works.
I just wonder if the profile is not glamorous enough for the Celtic and Rangers fans. We want better than them. We usually play for Aberdeen.
We've had that over this last 6 months. Are we neglecting our own talent? You know, guys that are playing for Hearts or Aberdeens or Hibs, and we could run through a list of ones that have slipped through the net. You know, is it because it's just Scott McKenna, the Scottish internationalist, who we know very well by when we've seen him play hundreds of times up here for Aberdeen? Like I said, I'm not saying it would be a brilliant sign. I think it fits. It fits pretty easily. And I think signing Scott McKenna, for instance, is a safer signing than signing Lager Bielka, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. And obviously at this stage of the contract, you're not paying, it wouldn't be a fee of that size, I wouldn't have thought, but then the wage would.
Listen, it might be a loan deal to the summer, and then you get them for free in the summer. Like, who knows?
And it might be that Scott McKenna says, I'm not going to hear either of them. I'd rather go somewhere else, thank you.
Maybe stay in England, yeah. Maybe I'd rather stay in England, even go to the Championship again.
I wonder if just generally for him and everybody else, what the Euros does to you. Sorry to keep doing it to you and remind you that for ages Scotland players didn't need to think that way. But you know, when it gets to January and you know that you've got that round the summer, I think most people expect Scott McKenna to be in the Scotland squad anyway. You know, if you didn't play at all between now and then, you know what I mean? I wonder if it's an extra thought process that these players are all going through.
It has to be in everybody's thoughts that if you're not getting game time and you're not getting in the squad for your club, it's just there will be people breaking out. You know, there will be people who will catch the eye. Will Steve Clark take the plunge and maybe make a surprise call-up? Who knows? But there will be people who's playing. And if you're not, you're running the risk that you're not getting a seat on that plane.
Would Steve Clark rather a Scott McKenna went to an English club? You know, because he does.
Only if he plays, surely.
Well,
and I know Steve Clark doesn't hold it against you if you're, I mean, Kieran Tierney, Scott McTominay, but Scott McKenna would maybe be in a slightly different bracket to them, wouldn't he?
I think, you know, McKenna would know in himself whether he was going to play regularly for whichever English club it was. You know, he knows the environment now well enough to be able to say, yeah, I'll get a regular game there. I just wonder if Steve Clark quietly would rather have played for an English team.
For what reason, yeah? What would your reason be? For what reason would he want that?
It feels that it's a higher level.
Aye, well, again, depending on where he's gone, because
which English team?
We've already talked, he's not getting a game for a team at the bottom of the Premier League, so he's going to go to the Championship if he's going to go anywhere. Is that a higher level in general? Probably, yes. Is at a higher level than going to Rangers and having European exposure? By the way, fighting with demands and expectation on you to go and win leagues and cups. That's the counter to the level, is if you're going to Celtic or Rangers, then you are now, you're stepping. By the way, wherever Scott McKenna's been at whatever level, he's not going to have had that put on him. the same level of expectations and demands and standards for every single day. It's just, this is the way it is.
Chance for, if it was either of them, chance for both to go and win things. If it's Rangers, it's European football after Christmas, so on. So interesting, right? Look, you don't have to be called John to get through in the phone lines. Right? Other names are available, and what's what? Like, there are even
it's
more.
The hat trick. We've got the hat trick.
We've got the hat trick, and there are more Johns phoning in the background. I can see it, but other names are available. This one's in Scotstoun. We're doing a sort of whistle stop tour of Glasgow in the west. Scotstoun, John. What have you got?
Hi, thanks, panel. Calling in to say about the Lawrence Shankland situation. I do think that Celtic should sign him. I'm a Celtic fan, and the reason, well, a few reasons I think we should sign him. First of all, to stop Rangers from signing him.
That's first of all. That's the most important thing.
Yep. He's better than anything they've got.
That to me sounds like the most important bit, but anyway, carry on.
He will improve their team. He'll get them more goals. He'll get them more points. Simple as that. He's not better than Kyogo. He's not going to be a starter, but I think he's probably a better backup option off the bench for us. He's a good player to come on and get goals for us. When you look at the value for money you get for players in Scotland, if it costs us even £3 million and in his wage to go out and buy Shankland, that's a drop in the ocean compared to the Champions League money. If we risk that, that's a huge dent to our plans. Rangers can afford them. They probably can't afford to go and buy a similar quality player from another league. So it's just good business.
Are you saying, John, that Shankland is the difference between Celtic winning the title and not?
No, I think he's saying it's the difference between Rangers winning the title and not.
But it comes to the same thing, really. I mean,
no, it's not, because John's priority is that he can't help Rangers.
But at the same time, John fears that Shankland wins the title for Rangers, but doesn't think he'd get a regular game at Celtic. Therefore, on that basis, John, Shankland doesn't go anywhere near Celtic.
He's better than Odo, is John's point.
But if he doesn't get, if he warms the bench in the same way that O does, then Lauren Shankland is not interested in that. He wants to go. He's at the peak of his career. He's never been a hotter item than he is now. And he's simply not going to go to a club where he'll play second fiddle to Kyogo and sit beside who on the bench.
If he's good enough and he's scoring enough goals, who's to say that he won't play them both?
He won't play them both, John.
No, not Brendan Rodgers' way.
Anyway, I do like, because we've done that. It takes me back to, is it Scott Allen? That's about the last one I can remember. And folks say, buy him so that they can't.
But this was the go-to manoeuvre for back in the day. It was great. And one club gets linked, the next club gets linked, and it's a tug of war of who can actually get the player.
Can you see it?
I think he's a really, really good player, Lauren Shankland. I really do. A big fan. He probably fits better at this moment at Rangers because of their striker issues. Like John says, Kyogo is... Listen, he's not been firing like he was in the first two games he's seen, but then look what he does. Pops up with a big goal in the big moment, and that's what he's done over his Celtic. Okay. Cup finals, Old Firm games, he's the man to be relied on.
I'm trying to imagine the conversation, Kenny, between Mark Lawwell and Brendan Rodgers, where Mark Lawwell says, look, Brendan, we'll need to sign him in case they sign him.
It's happened in the past.
Yeah, of course, but listen, you don't need to play him, but we just need to sign him so they don't get him.
What we could do is one of them could sign Scott McKenna so that the other one doesn't get him, and then the other club could sign Shankland so that the opposite side don't get him. That sort of balances itself out, no?
Anyway. I think Shankland, but for me it was the summer. I think, have Rangers got another, I don't know, what do the Hearts want? 3-4 million? Where they've already maybe spent upwards of 12 million on 3 attacking players in the summer. Have they got another 3? Listen, if it's a difference between winning a league, then maybe they have.
Well, I think clearly in the summer, right, if you, hindsight's amazing, but you say, right, there's your whatever it was, the few million, and you can spend it on Cyril Dessers or Lauren Shankland. What we know now is quite clearly where he should have spent it, but whether that now means you can go and do that again.
So that's the question. And you know what? Like, we are looking at hindsight, but this goes back to what we've just discussed. You've neglected someone who scored 24 league goals in our league, who's now backed up with being the top scorer in the league at this moment in time. You know, hindsight, yes. For me, it's Lauren Shankland all day long. If you weigh up the deals, what they would have cost, it costs less money, probably a little bit less than a transfer fee, and I would go say a fraction of the wages of what they'll be paying Cyril Dessers.
You would have thought so.
So I just think it makes better business.
Well, whether it is Scott McKenna, Lauren Shankland, anyone else you want to discuss, it's the same number, 01419511025. Before we go any further, though, whilst you get your calls in, let me tell you about this. Clyde One. Today was our first Make Me A Winner call of 2024, and we've already had our first big giveaway. It was Oma Bolaghi who picked up the phone within five rings, said the four magic words, and won 50 grand. What a way to kick off the new year. Oh, everybody's skint at this time of year, aren't they? You've overindulged at Christmas, you're looking ahead, you're staring at your four walls, knowing you're stuck in the winter, and everybody could do with a bit extra cash. There's plenty more where that came from. Let's keep the winners coming. You could be the winner of 52,000 on Monday when we make the next call, but obviously you do need to be in the draw. Text yes to 61025. Text of £2 plus your standard network rate. You can enter at clyde1.com for £2 or call 0330 880 4523, and calls are charged at a standard rate as well. It is over 18s only, and all the rules for this network competition can be found online. If you get the call from us after 3pm on Monday the 8th, answer within five rings, say make me a winner straight away, don't say anything else, and the 52 grand would be yours. To get in the draw, text yes to 61025.
Glasgow and the West's league leader for 50 years, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Kenny Miller are here. It's 01419511025. You can tweet us as well at Clyde SSB. So do get in touch. I know it's our first weekend of that winter break without any Premiership action to look forward to, but I don't think we will be short of talking points. The transfer window is very much open. It slams shut, Hugh. We all know that. Yeah, what is it? Yeah. What does it do? Does it swing open? Does it like creak gently open?
No, it swings.
It swings open, yeah, and slams shut.
You crash out of Europe. You don't go gently.
Right. Okay, so let's see where we are then on that. Billy is on the line. How's it going, Billy?
It's all right, thank you.
Good. Well, that's not all right. It's fine, isn't it? That's about all we can ask for. What are you thinking tonight on what we've been discussing?
Hey, first thing I'll say, it's good to speak to you.
And you, Billy, and you.
I like to see it happen to you and my boy, but it's all right. He's been working away, I've never seen him.
Of course it is.
His name's Ray.
Ray been working hard, has he?
Aye, he's working away.
Nothing worse.
Thanks. I would just like to say that I suppose Celtic, I'd sign Scott McKenna and Lauren Shankland in a heartbeat. Scott McKenna, it's self-explanatory. He can win a header in the box anywhere. We don't have a player at Celtic that can win a header. And you, if you watch your football, you'll see that. So we know that Carter Vickers, as good as he is at football, he's not commanding. And Lauren Shankland, totally different player for Kyogo, not as dynamic, but what a fantastic finisher the boy is.
My problem with Shankland is Hart's attitude to all of this, because if you sell Lauren Shankland, the chances are you'll get nothing like a replacement. There's certainly not one on the premises, because the next top goal scorer after him, I think, is Alan Forrest with two.
Is it own goals? Is it, I think it's goals. Still, yeah. Still yeah, own goals. Is it still own goals? Is
it Vargas can't be far away now, surely.
Well, how can anybody be far away if it's two?
But Hearts have to weigh up the fact that he's so important to them. He is the club captain, and they must want to be in Europe next season, and the chances are if they let Shankland go, they won't achieve that aim. And that's why I think Rangers, I suspect, will use their money elsewhere. And Celtic, if they can't guarantee him a game, why would they go there anyway? So I think he'll stay at Hearts.
What size of fee would it take? I've seen, these debates always amaze me, because people are plucking figures out of any, and I'm going to ask you to do the same, incidentally. Yeah. But I've seen some really low ones. And as Hugh says, you have to take everything into context. Because of the way our European qualification works now, third place can be worth about £6 million to you. So that's important. If you're Hearts, you're not letting Lauren Shankland go for £1.5 million, are you? What would be the point?
No, but you're not. It's as simple as that. And I think he's backed up last season, 28 goals all in, 24 league goals. He'll get more than that this year, I've no doubt. As long as he stays fit, he'll get more than that this year. you know.
So what would it take?
I think that with 18 months left, I think that's a fair, I think that would be a fair price.
Yeah, contract length is important. But
by the way, you're worth what somebody will pay. And also Hearts are in complete control of the situation. They've got him on contract. Everything you say is club captain, best footballer of his life. They can ask for whatever they want. But I think three would be a fair...
In case Kenneth Vargas's family are listening back home in Costa Rica, he does now have three. So yep. He is the second top scorer at Hearts.
In the maddest city in the world, if Rangers don't have any intention of going for Shankland, would Celtic get opposition from the fans who say he's a Rangers fan?
No, I do think some of you've got a guy next to you that played for both, for goodness sake.
I understand that. I've played very well for both, but this is the maddest city in the world now.
You get a touch of it, Kenny, but yeah. We went back to Scott Allen earlier on. I think, you know, there are probably current examples as well.
And it ends the minute, from a striker's perspective, the minute you start scoring goals, yeah. You know, and big goals at that as well. And Lauren Shank's proved that he is that guy. You know, he can only play in the games that he can play in. So the Edinburgh Derby, he's the man that decides it. Comes on for Scotland, drags you back into the game, gets you an equaliser in the last minute away in Georgia. European football, we scored at that. And domestically, he's just done it at every level that he's been. You know, I actually questioned him at the start of the last season because he hadn't scored to the same kind of levels in that first year when he came up with Dundee United. Well, he blew that out of the water last season. And by what I'd say is, and I've said this numerous times now, his game has came on so much over the last four. It's not just about his goals now. I'll tell you what's really impressive about his goals now. He actually plays off sometimes a Vargas. Last year it was a Ginelli. And he's coming and getting involved in the games and he's got a big responsibility now that he's wearing that armband. He's doing a lot more than what he was doing when he was in the Championship with Dundee United. But by the way, scoring even more goals at a higher level.
It's the style of goals as well. You look at your Scotland goal header, looking at some really good... relatively long range left foot finishes. He's not bothered about penalties anymore because he doesn't need them apparently.
Terrific header at Celtic Park.
Bullet it was. Absolute bullet.
Yeah, his goal at Livingston, very clever. This is the moment in Lauren Shankland's career. He's at an age where it's now or never. The big move, whether it's in Scotland or elsewhere, will not be there after this. He's got to go now.
I was just going to say out there, will there be opposition for teams down in England, maybe in that Championship? You know, I don't think he's going to go to the Premier League, but he could go to the Championship. Absolutely. Could.
And there's teams there that
could do with him.
I think if it applies to Scott McKenna, absolutely has to apply to Lauren Shankland about the Euros.
Yeah. And you know what? Well, even more so for Lauren Shankland, because this is a guy who was out the squad,
yeah.
Who got called into the squad for the last City Internationals. So it really does. And by the way, he could play every game for Hearts and smash 30 goals and still not be on the plane, by the way, because I think his place is in the balance. I mean, that would be crazy if he wasn't on the plane and he does go into kind of complete that type of 30 goal season or close to it. But you know what it is as well? It's his calmness about his face. His calmness in that Edinburgh Derby, his goal on against Livingston, where he takes that breath, you know, he's got that coolness about his finishing and he's ruthless.
Billy kicked us off. He's the first caller I think we've had saying, yeah, I would sign. Scott McKenna says he's more commanding than anything Celtic have, according to Billy. You have played against him. Is that fair? How commanding are we talking? Is he very physical?
Yeah, I mean, you just got to look at him.
Yeah.
You know, look at him. His shoulders are so... He's a big old boy. He's got a big old head as well. You know, so when he's putting that in there and he's aggressive with it. I mean, you just go back, even look at the battles that he had with Morelos over his time when he was at Aberdeen. You know, Morelos are a really physical player as well. But like I say, I think he's a good fit. And Billy makes a good point about how aggressive and commanding he is in the box. Something I think every time an Old Firm game rolls around, I know it's probably the same for any other games, but more so in the Old Firm, look at the Rangers, their height for set plays and things that's going to cause problems. Well, McKenna definitely helps with that.
Thank you, Billy, who says it's quiet during the winter break. It is that time of the night already.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
I'm afraid you've got big shoes to fill from last night. Marshall from Vermont phoned in. He wasn't even an expat. He's never lived here. He just came to Scotland once, stumbled across this show, and has been a fan.
He heard the Friday night show
ever since. It was incredible last night's Beat the Pundit. I loved it. But let's see what we can do tonight. If you want to end the week on a high by beating Hugh Keevans or Kenny Miller, 01419511025, and the lines close at 7.
First for football for 50 years. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Kenny Miller and Hugh Keevans, 01419511025, or Twitter to get in touch with the show tonight. It's one of those perfect winter break transfer speculation nights. There's a great tale brewing in that Celtic and Rangers both reportedly interested in Scott McKenna. So wondering, to sets of both fans, would you take him? Is that one you would like to look at? We've had some good calls on that. Lawrence Shankland's name has come up quite a few times, and it won't be the last we talk about him during this January transfer window. So again, share your thoughts there. Got a great tale from Brendan Rodgers to bring you about a player he missed out on last time he was at Celtic, one that he thought he had over the line. It fell apart at the last minute, and it's taught him to not count your chickens, so to speak. A very well known name at that. So we'll do that. And what about you fans of lower league teams? I said it at the top of the show, I know the way this works. I'm very aware of it, and I know that the top flight, and in particular the top end of the top flight, get most of the airtime. So if you think there's a tale out there that we should be shining the light on more this weekend, please do get in touch. Let us know what we're missing, what we should be looking at in the lower leagues this weekend, because we're on right through. I know they're that easy option. We could have just given Hugh Keevans the afternoon off on a Saturday. We wouldn't dream of it. We actually like this time of year when we do get the chance to look at some of the stories. 01419511025 on any of that or anything else you want to change the topic. We are here from you. I like this one on Twitter, because I like the notion that this is MC just getting round to it after all these years. He says, Gordon, can you thank Kenny for that winner in the 2010 Cup final? I had a draw half time, Arsenal full time, doubled with draw half time, Rangers full time. Kenny to score in the first half. Thought it was gone when Tomo and Danny Wilson were sent off. Decent odds in that, for the sounds
going
of
the second
it.
Half, hopefully, it was, that's the best.
Well, you must have been. Did you score in the second half? Right. I don't know if it. Presumably, MC's already collected his winnings.
Yeah, well, listen,
so he's maybe just
explained. They're not
going
to chase him up either 13 years later.
So he owes you a slice of that, by the
definitely.
Sounds of it.
Yeah, big goal as well.
I'm
big
trying
goal.
To go through it all. I mean, I'm not much of a gambler, but that sounds like a decent bet.
Absolutely.
That. Please gamble responsibly. And all that. Right, let's play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Second time this week, producer Chris has had to sneak in and give me the questions at the last minute. They're not taking their printing responsibilities seriously, as I throw them under the bus because I clearly didn't check that I had the questions before we started. He's quite good at it though. Have you noticed how he gets?
Oh, he's expert.
Like, I literally just put my hand out of shot and then I come back with the questions and you don't even see him. He doesn't
sneaky.
Dress up for the show,
sneaky.
It's for the best that he stays out. But anyway, right, 01419511025 is the number you need for the calls. But right now, let's play Beat the Pundit with Scott from Law. How's it going, Scott?
Hi there, how are you doing?
Not bad at all, not bad. You ever played before?
I played Andy Halliday.
And?
I beat me by one.
Ooh. So, player. Like a high-scoring one?
Yeah, I was... It was quite close. I think it was 6-5. He beat me up 5-4.
Hope Kenny gets you.
Who would you rather play? Who would, if you had the choice?
Probably Kenny Miller.
Probably Kenny Miller, he says. Right, well, I'll tell you what, we will toss the coin and we'll see who is going to be up again. So heads, it's Hugh, and tails, it will be Kenny. And it is. It's Kenny, I'm afraid. So Kenny going to take on...
Where is Law?
Oh, that's beyond me. That's Lanarkshire, South Lanarkshire.
From Vermont to Law.
Ah, no difference. Yeah, no difference. Just get up, you know, through Wishaw, up that way. Not Law, never heard of Law Hospital.
I have, yeah. But I was absolutely taken by Marshall from Vermont last night.
I think he's the nation's sweetheart.
Yeah,
now,
we're all
he?
Rooting for him, weren't we?
Yeah.
I know Mark Wilson had to go and ruin it on the tiebreaker. But there we are. Right, okay. We'll give Hugh some greatest hits radio.
And Kenny.
Oh, it's Kenny actually, I forgot. Anyway, give Kenny some greatest hits radio to listen to. Right, Scott, you've got 30 seconds. Just answer as many questions as you can. And if you want to pass and move on, that's absolutely fine, okay?
No worries.
Right, your 30 seconds starts now. How often does the Asia Cup take place?
Once a year.
Who do Rangers face at Ibrox in a friendly this month?
Copenhagen.
Who's currently top of the Scottish Championship?
Dundee United.
Name any of the players that's got 7 league goals for Celtic this season.
Matt O'Reilly.
Scott McKenna is currently at which English club?
Nottingham Forest.
Which Scotland international scored a hat-trick for Wrexham this week?
Stephen Fletcher.
Who's got more goals for Celtic, Henrik Larsson or Kenny Dalglish?
Henrik Larsson.
Okay, let's bring Kenny back. Kenny, can you hear us?
Sure can.
Same set of questions to Kenny, and your time starts now. How often does the Asia Cup take place?
Every 2 years.
Which team do Rangers face at Ibrox in a friendly this month?
Copenhagen.
Who's top of the Scottish Championship?
Wraith.
Name any of the players that have got 7 league goals for Celtic this season.
Pass.
Scott McKenna is currently at which English club?
Notts Forest.
Which Scotland international scored a hat-trick for Wrexham this week?
Stephen Fletcher.
Who's got more Celtic goals, Henrik Larsson or Kenny Dalglish?
Henrik Larsson.
Name either European country who's won the World Cup, Men's World Cup 4 times.
France.
Okay. Have you done enough, Scott, in law?
I know he get one question more than me, so.
The Asia Cup takes place every 4 years. None of you got it. Rangers face Copenhagen. Both got it. So we're one all there. Wraith top the championship, as you will hear all about tomorrow on Clyde One Super Scoreboard, I'm sure. So 2-1 to Kenny. We were looking for the players that have got like exactly 7, not more than 7. So Lewis Palma or David Turnbull. None of you got it. Kenny still leads by 1. Scott McKenna is at Nottingham Forest. Both got it. Stephen Fletcher got a hat-trick. Both got it. Henrik Larsson's got more goals. Both got it. And it didn't matter, but it's Germany or Italy that have got 4 men's World Cups. So Kenny nicks it by 1.
Oh, you've been done with 1 again, Scott. With the 2 best performers on Beat the Pundit.
I was going to say, Scott, my arithmetic tells me. Oh, so you don't mind then?
I don't mind getting beat off Rangers, man. No, that's not as bad.
My arithmetic tells me that if you can run Kenny Miller to within 1 and Andy Haldy to within 1, phone on a Thursday and you'll probably win. That would be my advice to you. That would be my advice, all right?
Perfect.
Good man, Scott. Thank you very much. Take care.
Thank you. Take care. You as well.
Cheers, Scott.
01419511025. That is the number you need. Or you can tweet us at Clyde SSB. It's another win. Can you say?
Just roll on.
Happy with that?
1 week to the next. Yeah, it's 2 in 1 week, actually. Yep. That's 2 in 3 days.
Of course.
Yeah, 2 in 3 days.
Right. Let me play you some Brendan Rodgers, just because I like this story very much. And just in case you're wondering the content, it very much just came up out of the blue. I mean, he obviously wasn't asked specifically about this person, so I do like it. He has revealed that he once narrowly missed out on signing Declan Rice during his first spell at the club. Again, the context is he was just going to ask generally about, you know, the January window, and can it be tough, and can you try and get players in early? He says he won't be able to address everything he wants this month.
I think ideally you'd want to get them in. These can be complicated, and the things can sometimes fall away that may have been there for 3-4 months. That's always the challenge. You know, it takes one injury from a player that was lined up to come in. You know, I remember when I was here the first time, we'd spent about 3 months looking at for Declan Rice to come in. Declan was all set to come in, and then all of a sudden they had an injury and he stayed and got in the team, and the rest is history. So, and that's not the club's fault, that's just the way it goes. So, We have a number of positions that we want to prioritise, of course. There are positions that we won't be able to do anything until the summer. So I know that, but what I do know is that we want to improve the squad, and the club are very happy to support that.
See, you think you've heard it all. Yeah. You think there are no secrets. You think you know all about every piece of transfer business that nearly happened. Declan Rice was nearly a Celtic player.
The biggest miss...
knew you were going to. I knew that was going to be your first response.
John McGinn. I said it again.
I can sense players that you just missed out on topic on tomorrow's show brewing on the back of this. You know, the ones that got away.
As I say, it's a fabulous story. Declan Rice, who eventually goes on to cost Arsenal £100 million. And he could have been a Celtic player. But that's the fascination of the transfer market. We've been talking about McKenna, Shankland. And, you know, for me, the biggest boob that Celtic ever made was missing out again.
It's funny because I saw like social media is a cynical and unforgiving place, in case yes. you hadn't noticed. So when we posted that clip of Brendan Rodgers saying that, and most of the responses were like, aye right sort of thing, or is this another Brendan story, is this the Clyde Tunnel all over it, that sort of stuff. But to be fair, if we're talking 2018 or whatever, it's not that unrealistic. It's not the Declan Rice of now, Kenny Miller. It's perfectly plausible if you look at the time frame of it. But there we go. It's a one that got away, isn't it?
Absolutely is. I mean, look where he's went. I mean, that would have been just about the time he was probably coming through. And there you go. There's like loads of stories of that. Even guys that are supposed to be leaving clubs, but a manager comes and they get injury. I mean, I think if I remember that right, Alan Hutton was maybe leaving Rangers at one point, and Walter come back in, starts playing him, and within a year or 6 months, he's away to Tottenham for 10 million. You know, this is one where Declan Rice is a young player, clearly, at the time, not able to get a game for West Ham. And Brendan Rodgers and his scouting team have obviously seen him play and thought he would do a good job for us. Gets injured, gets in the team, and 6 years later, he's a £100 million player.
What's the closest move that didn't happen that you ever had?
Fiorentina, that January. I was supposed to be going to Fiorentina, yep. Didn't fell through. Right at the last minute.
Like... you don't need to tell us every last detail. What when you say fall through, is that on part and your part?
Well, I thought more they kind of they probably backed it a wee bit for one reason or another. I'd spoke to the manager.
Who was the manager at the time? Anyone we know? No,
can't even remember. Actually,
I'll look him up. Don't worry.
Gilardino was the forward at the time. I was going to go and be playing up front with him.
And Miller and Gilardino. Yep. It's a good ring to it.
Yeah, just fell through right at that. It was Big Lorenzo. Lorenzo was working on it.
Right.
He was doing a bit of work for Fiorentina at the time. I said everything was agreed, contract was agreed, spoke to the manager.
That purple strip would have suited you as well. I could see it, Batistuta, Miller.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because I'd been kind of half links to go to Italy a couple of times, and I really felt it would have suited my game. So at that point, I thought, you know what, again, it was in that moment where I kind of knew at the end of that season I wasn't going to be at Rangers
apparently,
any longer.
Producer Chris tells me it was the one I was hoping, it was Mihailovic was the manager. What a player, what a man he would have been to work under. Florence wouldn't have been a bad
lovely
part of the world to live. So that one you said, so you went to Turkey.
That's the one. That's
there we go.
That transfer one there.
Anyway, 01419511025. If you've got any theories or questions, theories was a strange thing for me to say there. I must have read the word theories. You got any questions or
any, a lot of theories.
Any points to be made on Declan Rice or any of that stuff we just played you, or transfer window in general? I think it's a nice story to kind of feed into as well, Hugh. You know, the sort of unpredictable nature of the transfer window, you know, it's maybe the bit that as fans you just don't care about. You're not interested if, you know, you just want your team to be in control at all times, and it just can't be done. There's so many moving parts.
I remember going to Easter Road Sunday afternoon, and there's a guy with an Alice band in his hair, and he passes the ball to Chick Charnley, and Chick Charnley scores for Hibs. And
I've heard about him, aye.
Coming back, and people saying, the boy with the hairband, he'll know day. And the boy with the hairband really did do. You know, it was twist of fate that Wim Jansen knew there was a breakout clause in the contract. Henrik Larsson came here, and was he Celtic's best ever signing?
Darren thinks he's uncovered something, and it shows you how bad my memory is. Were you asked 2 days ago on the same quiz what club Scott McKenna plays for?
Don't think so.
No, Darren thinks that you were. But anyway, right, let's bring in
Never mind, Darren, still answer it right.
Let's bring on Andrew, who's got a question for Kenny.
Hello.
Hi, you alright?
How you doing, guys?
Not bad, you?
I'm really good. Hello to the panel, hello Hugh, Kenny.
Hello, Andrew.
I think it's getting a bit late for Happy New Year, so I'll leave it.
I think we're just about in the window.
Is this the last day?
Just say it quickly and we'll move on.
No, it's Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Andrew.
Happy Easter, Andrew.
Thanks very much. Happy Valentine's Day, Hugh. No, it was a question for Kenny. I saw, obviously, social media is rife right now with speculation and things like that, and quotes that aren't quotes, and know from players and things like that. And I saw today, Lawrence Shanklin says, I want to play for Rangers, which he may do. He's a Rangers fan. And it may come to the point that, you know, we've heard of before, when a player pushes for a move. And obviously that can come to fruition when, if Rangers put in a bid of X amount, at that point, a player can say, well, okay, I've got the opportunity to go and play and double my wages or give me a four-year contract. I want to go. The valuation that Rangers have or Hearts have or whoever it is well far apart. So I just wanted to ask Kenny, because I'm sure it must have happened to him before, because he's had more clubs than I've had hot dinners. No, I'm only kidding, Kenny.
Well, you might be right, to be fair.
I know, I like a salad. see when it comes to that, when there is a bid there and the club that you play for, obviously you're contracted for, they have a valuation for you, but you're saying, look, well, my life is going to change completely here. How much like clout or influence does the players want to move have in bringing the two figures together in the negotiation for that? Or is it none at all?
You know, what I would say
player power.
I think if you're in the right club and you've got kind of the right people there, then you can have a say in it. But ultimately, the club have got every right to ask for whatever fee they feel is appropriate and value you at, because you're their player. Again, Lawrence's situation, he's got 18 months left. He's committed to a contract. Hearts have been good with him and gave him the contract. So, but if the relationship's there, you can work, but they still need to get agreeing on a price, you know. And again, we're talking about 1.5 million, 2 million. Is that enough? I mean, you look, probably no. If you look at what players have moved for in our league years and years ago, I think 3 million, 4 million. I mean, listen, Hearts could ask for whatever they want. They've got the top scorer in the league, they've got their captain, they're going to have to pay. And at this moment, if they can smell that Rangers are really, really wanting them, then that can just drive it up.
But
as
I think,
well,
but Andrew's asking, yeah, them, can the player do
no,
anything?
Listen, no, listen, you can throw the dummy out, you can put the toys out the pram, you can say, well, I'm not going to play. Listen, there's only one winner. In fact, you know what? There's no winner in that. The player ends up no playing, the club are no getting the services. So I think if you've got a good relationship with the club and they're no that far apart, then I think you can... There's always going to be a deal to be done, but you can't down tools.
I want to try and ask Andrew a bit more. So, Andrew, are you asking because you think Lauren Shanklin might be saying to Hearts, or would say to Hearts, look, you're going to need to drop that asking price, I want to go to wherever?
Well, I think if I was... myself in the position, that's why I wanted to ask Kenny, because I'm mm-hmm. sure he's been in the position where a bid's come in and he's wanted to move and the club are saying no, they've not met the asking price, so you can't move. So he has to go back to, I don't know, his family or whatever and go, right, okay, well, I'm not getting that move because the club won't budge. So if you look at the Lauren Shanklin situation, I'm sure his wages would go up quite considerably. So you're talking about, say, £1 million in discretion between the two clubs, but over 4 years, could that make him £1 million?
I would, you know,
he can go, you know, that's your take.
No, I don't know what you mean. Yeah, yeah.
I would stand to be corrected, and I frequently am. But I doubt if Lauren Shanklin came out today and said, I want to play for Rangers.
Lauren Shanklin's on his holidays just now. Yeah. You do see these things.
And he would also, you know... He knows it's a delicate situation, and if you start to stir it up like that, then who knows where it ends. And I think as the Hearts captain, he would know himself intuitively that it would be disrespectful to the club, the Hearts fans, to come out with a public statement like that. What will be, and in the transfer window, you know, it will take care of itself, but I very much doubt that Lauren Shanklin came out today and said, I want to play for Rangers.
I don't think there's any chance of it. But so Kenny, does that only go so far? A player generally, you know, you'll get ones who'll proper spit the dummy, yep. But as Hugh says, he's Hearts captain, he's doing pretty well for the 10th time tonight. It's a Euros in the summer, so it's not like him. And I know what Andrew's saying, because there is it could be kind of life changing money, it could be the last big move, but I don't think staying at Hearts is like this disaster all in for him. That's not the way he's going to be seeing it, is it?
Listen, I don't think it will be. And you've already seen Hearts apparently going to be offering him a new contract.
Exactly,
so
yeah.
They're going to be, again, that they're willing to commit even more money and a longer contract to him because they recognise the asset that he is. What the first phase of this is Rangers actually declaring that there is genuine interest, putting a bid on the table and working for there. At that point, Lauren Shanklin's got every right to be saying to Stephen Naismith or anybody else in the board, I would like to go, I would like this move to happen, for everything that Andrew's just said. you know, whether he's a fan or not, again, I don't know. There is going to be obviously a bigger contract on the table. He's got an opportunity to go and win things, play again in Europe after Christmas for Rangers. You know, he's got that right when it happens. Until then, it is all really just speculation. But in terms of could he force it? Listen, you can try, but for me, there's only going to be one winner at that stage. Well, like I say, there's probably not going to be a winner because he's going to end up staying if they're that far apart. So club are not going to be happy. They're not going to be getting the right services, and the player won't be happy either.
Keep the calls coming. I can see some of you are answering my plea. Come on, lower league fans. We don't give you enough air time. I'm sure that's what many of you say. I can see some starting to get in touch. We can do that. We've got a full-time teaser as well, and I'll give that to the pundits after these.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Listen and watch. Check the Twitter feed at Clyde SSB. Team with the biggest support in Glasgow and the West. For 50 years, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Kenny Miller and Hugh Keevans are here at 01419511025. It is the number you need. And let me give you guys, before we go any further, let me give you this question.
The full-time teaser with Sliding Wardrobe Solutions East Kilbride. Slat wall panels available in 7 colours. Now in stock at East Kilbride at competitive prices.
This guy sends a lot of questions in, and the reason he does it is so that I have to keep saying his name.
It's every night.
It's Gordon DL's unusually long nose. Sent this question in. Excluding loanees, can you name the last 6? So it's 3 from Celtic and 3 from Rangers, who played at least one game for the club in 2 different spells. So the last 3 from Celtic and the last 3 from Rangers, who basically played for the club in 2 separate spells.
McGregor?
Yes, Alan McGregor. Okay. Hugh, would you hazard a guess at any? 2 spells. Who's it? 2 spells at Celtic or 2 spells at Rangers?
Kyle Lafferty.
He's not in Rangers' last 3. No. Would you believe? Wow. No. Yeah, because Rangers are very recent. Celtics are a bit more of a spread.
Ryan Christie?
No.
He was a loan here.
Not including loans yet. So properly, like, played, signed permanently, left permanently, came back.
I can't actually think of any for Celtic. There you go.
Yeah, but the Celtic's definitely harder. I mean, two. What about
Mikey Johnson?
No, it's just a loan. Think about it, because it's quite a statement that to properly, you know, leave entirely and then get brought back. Steve Davis. Okay, we'll leave it there. So we'll see how we get on. You can play along at home, chuck in some answers, see how you get on. And if you want to actually use your question, hear your question used on the show, it's an email fulltime@clyde1.com. John is a Falkirk fan.
Hold on.
Our producer, John, is a Falkirk fan and never shuts up about Falkirk. You're not him, are you?
No, I'm not. No, glad to speak to the panel. How's
and
the
you?
Panel tonight?
Oh, good, John. I did good, say, what should we be looking out for in the lower leagues? It has to be Falkirk, does it not?
It has to be Falkirk. 23 games undefeated, hopefully 24 on Saturday. I just wanted to see what the panel's thoughts are on the First Division and how we're performing.
Well, you cannot quibble with that bald statistic. 23 played, no defeats. That's an outstanding effort. You're playing the Palmerston Pep tomorrow. And he will be very keen to disrupt that record because it will look good on his record. But I have an overwhelming feeling that Falkirk are just too strong for Queen of the South. Sorry, Marv.
That's the best news he could get, is hearing that you've tipped against
him.
However, did you hear about him last weekend? Nope. Didn't even milk it that much. Full ACCA for you last weekend.
5 out of 5, yeah.
Every result in the top flight predicted correctly.
Yeah, brilliant. Including a Hibs draw with Motherwell at Easter Road. The whole shebang.
I mean, the only unbeaten team in Britain, I think. John, is that correct?
Without a doubt, yes. I agree that our squad at the moment, strength and depth of the squad is really great. John McGlynn's doing a great job at the moment. And again, we don't often talk about the lower leagues and this opportunity because obviously it's not the Premiership playing this weekend. And it's just, I think fans need to get out there. We've got big support. And just again, just hear the fans, the the board, the panel's view on the team.
Oh, there he is. His namesake's chipped in now. You can decide, what stats better, right? The only unbeaten team in Britain. Producer John now says there are only five teams in Europe unbeaten, and Falkirk are one.
Yeah,
I don't know what sounds better.
I like
the only undefeated team in Britain. Kenny, you've spent a short period there, of course. This is all against the backdrop, and I know John, the two Johns will know this is. It's a club that has to get out of League One. Like, remarkable that it's taken so long, and it now really looks like they've got it all together and are going to do it convincingly.
Yeah, well, they've
got really promising. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've got a grip on that league now, you see. I mean, the stats there in terms of unbeaten, but scoring a lot of goals as well. 40, I think they're the top scorers out with the top flight. I think only Rangers and Celtic have scored more than them. Scoring a lot of goals. Every time I check the result as well, they're absolutely flying. And now with a game in hand, they could go 8 points clear, you know. So this could be there. By the way, for this position, probably should be. A lot of work still to be done for John and the players. But again, John, it's another John McGlynn. I've still got a lot of work to go, half a season. But they've put themselves in a wonderful position. And I mean, I'm hoping this would be their Falkirk need to be up the leagues. There's no doubt about it. Lovely stadium. Obviously, it's too big a club for that league. But they have been in it too long. But this could be the year.
John, is the football as good as the stats?
Well, pretty exciting. Sometimes we have to grind results out, but as a good team, if you play badly and you still get the results, that's what's most important. Get the results at the end of the day.
So who should we look out for tomorrow in your team?
Calvin Miller, to me, and Callum Morrison are really great players, and they're great to watch. Really creative players, and they're the ones to watch out for tomorrow, without a doubt.
Yeah, I know it's Callum Morrison trying to hit double figures tomorrow. Ross McKeever the same. I don't always like labouring this stuff, because ultimately the great thing about football, it's a meritocracy, and you are where you deserve to be. So I always think like, oh, X team is too big for that level or whatever. I mean, who cares? You don't win the games, you don't win them. But I think you do look at Falkirk and the sort of length of time, and I think it's, you know, it looks like this will be the time that the step back to the Championship takes place.
Yeah, I mean, John and I are men of a certain vintage, and I remember, you know, Falkirk were a big club in this country, and it was sad to see the decline in recent years. You know, I'm sure, you know, John will savour the memory of Simon Stainrod there and all the great stuff that went on at Falkirk. I can remember them when Alec Totten was the manager there, terrific side. They ought to be in a much higher place than they are, John. I'm sure that's what excites you.
I just
most
wonder
of all.
How excited producer John is in the office through there, knowing that he's finally getting the airtime that he's craved.
Well,
he tries to shoehorn Falkirk into every beat the pundit question.
Apparently, he's on the telly tomorrow.
Oh, don't you want to give that away? He's saying to me, it's glorious. He's sending me messages in capital letters with exclamation marks and all sorts. I think he's about 5 seconds away from coming in here and stealing your mic, Hugh Keevans.
Who's your best player? I don't mean in this team. Who was your greatest Falkirk player of all time, John?
Simon Stainrod, I would reckon. I mean, I'm a season ticket holder, and he's just been immense. You know what I mean? It was immense at the time. I mean, we've had a lot of good players over the years. I like Colin Samuel. He was so creative. We don't get many players like Colin Samuel now in the leagues that would just run with the ball and score at will. So these type of players are what I think we're missing at the moment.
Enjoy your weekend, John. I'm glad you took the time. We asked and we got, always looking to try and shine a light. I know that this gets dominated, this show, by, well, certainly Glasgow's big two and then the rest of the top flight. So nice to have a wee look at what lies in store this weekend. With that in mind, for the first time, I think all night, has every caller been called John? No, have we managed to squeeze
a Andrew and a Billy.
We found a Gordon out there. Great name, of course. He's an East Kilbride. How are you, Gordon?
I'm fine. How's it doing tonight, Jase?
Good. What else should we be looking out for this weekend?
Big manager tomorrow, derby tomorrow, League East Kilbride versus Cali Braves.
Who's at home?
he should ride.
Not far that, is it? Strathclyde Park, just up the expressway, Kenny. You know that well.
Yep.
That is a local derby. East Kilbride have been going well. Gordon lost in Boxing Day, didn't he?
East Kilbride's at home tomorrow against Caledonians at Keith Park. Yeah, we lost 3-1 against Albion Rovers. I don't know, fair play to Albion Rovers on the day. They came with a game plan and they worked it. But, you know, we've got to continue that at the top of the league. But hopefully we'll get a crowd tomorrow's Lanarkshire derby. You know, guys, thanks for the opportunity. You know,
I can almost recycle that conversation though about Falkirk, Gordon, and, you know, all right, is this the year that they finally get out of League One? Is this the year that East Kilbride finally get out of the Lowland League? Because they've obviously had a few close runs at it.
Yeah, hopefully, Gordon. I think you're looking over your shoulder at basically, you know, if you had to look at the Lowland League, you know, look at Trinan. East Kilbride have not played Trinan in the league this year. Trinan have got two games in hand, they're probably closest rivals. You're looking at who's doing well in the Highland League. Beacon are doing well, they're top with a game in hand. And then, unfortunately, you're looking at the bottom of the second division as well. Do you look at a team in free fall? Unfortunately, that's been Elgin over the last couple of seasons. But Clyde are down there as well, unfortunately. It's just the way, you know, the league runs now. Somebody's going out to playoff, somebody might come down out of the league. And it's, you know, it's not nice for long established Scottish clubs to come out of the league. You know, Albion Rovers, Easterling, things like that.
But what Clyde might do that you can't do, I suspect Clyde might be bankrolled sufficiently well to get players in January.
I don't think East Kilbride are not shy at bringing in new bodies, Gordon, are they?
Put it right in the spot because they've got Alan Maitland back in. You know, he was here before. They've brought Ian McCall back in, old hand. You know what I mean? They are so many points adrift, but I would say who's 110% agree on what you're saying there.
Yeah. And the great thing is, you're managed by Mick Kennedy, who's been in here before. Yeah. Your assistant manager, Simon Ferry, when he's not feeding spicy chicken wings to Gordon DL and Mark Wilson, is obviously in there as well.
That challenge has actually been put out to all these Kilbride fans now as well.
It's disturbing, honestly, to see.
If you made the SPFL, Gordon, yes, what potential support is there in a place like East Kilbride?
I think if we got there, I think there'd be more fans come out. You know, we've got the diehard fans just now. We've got a very noisy group of youngsters that come on every home game and support the team. And as you hurt there earlier on, there has been a few attempts. You know, first time they won the league, got beat the Cowden Beef in the playoffs. The next time won the league, we came against a very well organised Cove Rangers team who came up. If this season is, which I hope it is, I would hope that the town would turn out and follow a league club.
Because what's the stat? I've just what is the great fact? What, East Kilbride are the biggest.
Yes, biggest town.
I mean, it's certainly in Scotland. Uh-huh. I can't remember if it stretches beyond that. Biggest town in Scotland who've never had a top flight football team. I think that's the fact. It's something like that. It might even be more dramatic than that.
It's a funny thing. You have to grow a history. East Kilbride are trying to grow a history.
Yes.
Clyde are trying to regain a history. You know, they don't want to drop out of the SPFL first time ever. And that's why they'll move heaven and earth. But good luck to you, Gordon.
Gordon, does a day like tomorrow, when there is no Premiership, does the Lowland League, and does it feel that knock-on effect? Will the crowd be bigger tomorrow, ultimately, is what I'm asking?
Hopefully. But it's a very competitive league. It's getting a lot bigger and a lot more competitive. And if you just look around, close to you, I would say, you know, the teams from the West Scotland League have a playoff end of the season, you know, and I would say watch Clyde Bank.
Oh, you don't need to tell this guy. This guy was out with, he had flares and everything for Clyde, and I don't mean on his legs last season for Clyde Bank.
They have a playoff against South of Scotland, East of Scotland, you know, and I would say Clyde Bank's ambitions, looking at them, are to get into the Lowland League, and who knows what happens from there. So there's other teams around you need to watch, but it's becoming a very competitive league.
Good man, Gordon. Thank you very much. That was Gordon
on
the line.
Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Telling you to get along to East Kilbride against Cali Braves in the Lowland League tomorrow. Of course, the lower leagues will take the spotlight with no Premiership. Still time for you to talk transfers, though, or any of the big teams. We can do that again after the break. How are you two faring? Excluding loans, can you name the last three Celtic and three Rangers who've played for the clubs in two separate spells? Alan McGregor, Stephen Davis.
How far back are we going with the Celtic one?
We're actually going back quite a bit for the last Celtic one.
Leon Balogun.
Yeah, there you go. So it's full house on the Rangers ones. Anything at all on the Celtic?
Charlie Mulgrew.
No.
No. No. Sean Maloney?
Yes. Okay, and we'll get the other two next. Glasgow and the West's league leader for 50 years. Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We are on the home straight with Hugh Keevans and Kenny Miller. We've still got work to do on the phones. We're going to bring in Graham in just a second. Let's revisit this teaser tonight. Can you name the last three from Celtic and three from Rangers who've played for the clubs in separate spells? So Sean Maloney is your only Celtic answer so far. Rangers, you've done Leon Balogun, Alan McGregor, Steve Davis. Two more Celtic to get.
My old pal Andy Walker.
Andy Walker, he's on there. Of course he is. I had a tweet in from Stuart Miller who says defo.
Is that my brother?
It might be. Is your brother called Stuart? Is he? I don't think he's called B Boy. As in Bahoy.
No,
so it can't be.
Definitely not.
Defo Charlie Nicholas, he says. But I reckon time frame wise, Andy Walker's second spell ended just after Charlie Nicholas's, didn't it? So that's probably why Andy Walker would be in there. Which means one more Celtic we need before the end. Graham, and I've been kind of hoping for one of these, to be honest, Graham, because you're a Hearts fan. And in Glasgow, we're doing that thing where it's as if Celtic and Rangers, they can just have their merry way and pluck Lauren Shankland if they wish. How does it feel from a Hearts perspective?
Frustrating, but I get it. I kind of wish the window would shut now because I've got about 4 or 5 weeks left of this.
There's a long way to go.
Oh, there is. But I genuinely, maybe it's been blind optimism, I don't think Shankland will leave in January. Now, we don't have to sell him. He's got 18 months left in his contract. And from by all accounts, he's happy at Hearts. He's the captain. He's scoring loads of goals. He knows how important he is to Hearts. We don't have to sell him. I keep hearing folks saying, oh, he needs to hand in a transfer request. I've never got the impression that Shankland's that type of person. I think he's genuinely happy at Hearts. He wants to go on that plane to Germany as well. He knows how important it is to Hearts and the fans. I just don't think he's going to leave. And I think to say that he needs to hand in a transfer request and go to Rangers, I just think it's nonsense, to be honest. I think, like I said, maybe it's blind optimism, but I don't think he'll go in January. I really don't.
It's a complex one because does anyone know for sure that Philippe Clement wants Lauren Shankland?
Listen to you, at this stage of the season, we don't worry about small details like that. Come
I'll
on.
Just throw it in there. Also, making it complex, and I understand Graham and his affection for Hearts, but Lauren Shankland, Graham, could earn more money than Hearts could possibly offer him if he went to one of the Old Firm or an English Championship side. And at the end of the day, that's what he's in the game to do. He's a professional and he's trying to maximise his earnings. So it's a very, very complex situation. Hearts could make him the highest paid Hearts player of all time, and then we'd have to see if that satisfied his ambitions.
I'm just having a wee laugh at that Graham saying about handing this transfer request, because it's like you have visions of players walking up with this bit of paper, slapping it, and Stephen, I can just tell you, I want to go. You know, like, that's what will happen. If like you say, is Philippe Clement identified Shankland is the guy that he wants to target, I guess there could be the guy that's going to score between now and then, seeing 50 to 20 goals, and it could potentially bring a league title back to Ibrox. He needs to go and put the bid in, and then Lauren Shankland will. Listen, he'll want to go. I've absolutely no doubt about it. But Graham's right. Hearts, I said it before, they hold the cards. They've got the contract. Yeah. The player's playing, he's the captain. They don't have to sell.
How important is what third place means now, Graham? Because it's not the same as it used to. And it was actually your chief exec that sort of opened my eyes to this. I remember going and interviewing Andrew McKinley once, and he explained that third place, if you can get that guaranteed group stage football, which we still have for this season, I believe, you're looking at a sort of minimum, I think, of an extra £6 million. How much does that change things? Because if you're a mid to lower table Scottish Premiership team, and you don't really have much faith you're going to finish third, you would sell Lauren Shankland for £1.5 million, £2 million. But does this change that?
100% it does. And I think third place is massive for us. And let's be honest, Shankland right now is the difference between finishing third and not. And I think it's too simplistic to say that if Rangers come in for him, he will go. I don't think it's as easy as that. I genuinely think Shankland's happy at Hearts. And I know that we are actively trying to get him signed on a long-term contract. But listen, I don't know if Shankland will sign that or not. But the simple fact is, he still has 18 months left in his contract. We have no need to sell him. And again, he's the captain of Hearts. He's scoring a lot of goals. He's got 29 goals in 2023. We don't have to sell him. Mm-hmm. And getting third place is massive. Listen, I get the whole Glasgow thing, like, you know, going to Rangers and Celtic. I completely get that. But I think it's too simplistic to say that if Rangers put in a bid, then he will go. I genuinely don't believe that. Now, again, I've said it already. Maybe it's just me being blind optimism. But I just don't get the impression that Shankland wants to go and that he will go.
I don't think you're blindly optimistic, because it's thought out and you're talking about the importance of third and Hearts' financial situation and all that sort of stuff. You're confident he'll be here in January. Does that confidence extend to next season, or does this seem like one that it would make more sense and just do it in the summer?
I don't think my confidence will extend quite that far, but for January, I think he will definitely stay in it. The thing about Shankland as well, and I've said this previously to a couple of mates and stuff as well, the problem with losing Shankland is he is very difficult to replace. You cannot replace a goal scorer like that, and that would be the hardest part for me if we lost him. But I just don't think it will happen in January. Maybe I'll phone back in a few weeks, haven't been wrong, but I just don't think he will go in January. That's my general thought.
Fine with me, Graham. Thank you very much, Graham and Pennycook, giving us the Hearts angle, which I do think we've needed in this discussion. So thank you once again to Graham on 01419511025. We are on Twitter as well. Kevin McHugh's tweeted one in, and would you believe, right, see, because we are so in the, we get knee deep in the stories of the day and the debates and whatever ref has annoyed everybody that weekend. I'm not sure this has actually ever come up on this show. He says, because we were talking about transfers earlier, I'd love to hear Kenny Miller's story of when he first heard of Celtic interest, being a former Rangers player, and same again when he had the chance to go back to Rangers. I don't think we've ever discussed that on this show.
Probably not. What it was at the time, and I've spoken about it many a time, not on the show, but I was at Wolves. I was on the free transfer. I was coming out of contract, and there was a lot of interest at that time. I'd started the season pretty well. I was just off the back of scoring that goal against Italy at Hampden and then following up with a double in Norway. So I was in pretty good form. And there was a lot of opportunities there. But at that time, it was the only kind of concrete opportunity to sign a pre-contract.
Surprised to hear that interest just because of this rivalry and
maybe
all that stuff?
Maybe, but again, I always look at that time. I'd been at St Rangers for a year. I was a young player. I then left, obviously, after that year, initially on loan to go to Wolves. And, you know, I never really... Listen, I think I played about 35, 36 appearances that season, played Champions League, you know, played Old Firm games. But it never really impacted the club the way I would have wanted to. And then I was away, you know. So I think surprise maybe a little bit, but it's one of these things when, for me anyway, when any kind of interest came along for any club, you know, you listen to it, you see what it is. For me, I had a set of circumstances off the field as well, which it fitted, but it was an opportunity ultimately to play for a team that were going to win trophies or have a chance to win trophies, get another taste at the Champions League. I'd had one game for Rangers. It was that Monaco game. Mm-hmm. I'd scored after a couple of minutes, so it gives you a hunger for it and you want to play at the highest level. So that was everything that fed into it, you know. Going back to Rangers was a bit tougher. No, in terms of the decision, but I think for what was going on the outside noise,
that's the harder bit.
The going back to Rangers, because I remember watching a game. I was at Derby, and I was sitting with Stephen Pearson. We were in the van. I think it was Rangers were playing Motherwell, and there was vocal opposition to going back to Rangers. So,
what do you mean from
fans?
All right,
at the game. So, I remember watching the game, and I heard like people were then messaging me and phoning me after it. But you see, for me,
fans chanting that, were they?
Yeah,
I don't remember that.
Yeah, so it was
you can stick.
Yeah, somewhere. Yeah, but it was. But you know what? See, for me, it was like that kind of stuff never fazed me, and it was Walter Smith. That was.
I was just going to say, obviously the managerial change at Rangers, is that where your mindset maybe shifted in at that point?
Well, I think it became like, did I think I would go back to Rangers after that? And it wasn't really, but then I moved to Derby at the end of like one season with Celtic, and then it did become clear that there was a potential that I could have went back, and I could have maybe done it in the January, but because I'd played for Celtic at the start of that season and I was at Derby, you can't play for the three teams, so
of course
it went.
Kevin, I've realised I probably should have asked that question an hour ago, because I think we could have delved a lot deeper, but maybe we'll get back to it at some point. You need to give me one more in the teaser though.
Yeah, I'm toiling.
So you've had your spells, but we're looking for a guy who's had two Celtic spells, 2010 to 2017 and then 2018 to 2019. So a weird one, didn't leave for long. So you have like undeniably played against this guy numerous times. Left back. you've probably forgotten he came back.
Left back?
Mm-hmm.
Initials.
Oh. He's from Honduras.
Oh, it's not
he's
a Gary.
It is.
It's the Tico back.
He came back. There you go.
Thank
you, Hugh and Kenny. Really enjoyed that tonight. Good bit of transfer speculation. A nice look ahead to the weekend as well, because we're not going anywhere. We are here throughout the winter break, looking forward to shining a spotlight on the lower leagues tomorrow. And let's be honest, I'm sure Hugh Keevans, Mark Wilson and Gordon DL will have lots of interesting discussion for us that have probably got nothing to do with football anyway. So make sure you join us from 2 o'clock tomorrow. And in the meantime, GBX is up next.